And if you have your Bibles with you, you can turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So for the holiday season, here in the Frederick Church, we decided we were going to talk about being rested, renewed, and refreshed over the holidays. Those are three words that we love, particularly adults. We love the idea of being rested or being renewed or refreshed. Last week we talked about being rested, and this week and next week we'll talk about being renewed, and then the week after that we'll talk about being refreshed. But the reason why we think about these things is because of how we feel sometimes. Like, do you ever feel pretty much worn out?
Yes.
Okay, got some yeses. Do you ever feel like you're just depleted?
Yes.
Depleted. Yeah, that's a good one. All right. I'm talking about physically.
Yep.
I'm talking about mentally, emotionally, and even spiritually.
Yep.
And you know, honestly, it's normal to experience these feelings at times. If you stop and think about it, just through the normal cadence and rhythms of life, there are going to be times where we feel depleted and worn out. I thought of a few examples. At the end of a very long day, I don't know how this works for you, but I'm just going to explain how it works for me. I'm working, going, 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 and then all of a sudden, my body says, time to go to bed. And then I say to my wife, honey, I'm going to bed. And I have to go to bed, because if I don't, no matter what, wherever I am and whatever I'm doing, I'm about to fall asleep. I don't care if I'm standing up, driving, you know, anywhere. I'm going to fall asleep. My body just says, no, it's all over. You've done everything you have is gone. It's normal to feel a little bit depleted at the end of the day. How about after a particularly demanding work week? You know, a lot of us, we do have these like Monday through Friday work weeks, but even if we don't, at the end of a particularly demanding week, sometimes we're just like, man, I need a break. I'm just worn out. I'm worn down by my job. Even if we love our job and we're grateful for our job and we appreciate what we're doing. Now, this could be a job at home. This could be a job outside of the home. This could be the job of being a student and going to class. But, you know, it's normal for us to feel that way. And so at the end of the week, you know, We feel like I could use a bit of a break.
Yes.
Another time, after having a draining conversation, you know, as Christians, because we care a lot about each other, those of us who are Christians, we really get into like some serious conversations about some stuff. And you know, we don't consider it an option to just ignore the stuff that's going on in our lives and in the lives of the people that we care about. And so as a result, man, sometimes we just have some draining conversations. And just out of our love for one another, this happens. And so at the end of that, man, we could feel tapped out, worn out, depleted. And most of the time, in a healthy situation, this feeling of being depleted, it can be remedied fairly easily. For example, I just need a good night's sleep. Just got to go to bed, get a good night's sleep, and start fresh again tomorrow. Or another example might just be, the weekend is here, you know. I get a couple days break from my job, you know. So on Monday, I'll be back to work, ready to go. Or another example might be, especially after like a draining conversation, I just need a little bit of time to pray and to process. You know? And then after that, whether it's my good night's sleep or my weekend from my job, or my prayer and processing time, you know, I can feel renewed and I can move on. But what about when it turns out that those things no longer work to renew you anymore? It's like you wake up in the morning and you're just as tired as you were when you went to bed last night. You took the weekend off, didn't go to work. You wake up on Monday morning getting ready to go to work. And you're like, I don't feel any better than I did on Friday when I left work. You've had a little prayer walk, a little time to process things going on in your life, and yet you don't feel any better. Just drained, just depleted of energy. And you're just thinking, all right, this isn't just the normal cadence of life anymore where you get depleted and you get restored and renewed and all that. But now you're living basically a lifestyle of being depleted, a lifestyle of being drained. We came here for a Christmas banquet. We didn't come here to get depressed, right? There's good news, because the good news is that there is hope. The good news is there is hope. You know, this month, with our focus on rested, renewed, and refreshed, the reason why we have that focus is because these are things that God brings to us in our life. Amen. These are things that God offers us. He holds the solutions for all of us harassed and helpless people. And what we're talking about are the things that God has provided for us in order to help us live a life that can get reinvigorated and that can be refreshed and renewed over and over and over again. So today, let's talk a little bit about getting renewed. And by the way, so one definition of being renewed is to bring back to an original position of freshness and vigor. Right, when you think about your life, it does kind of sound exciting if you think, wow, if I just had a sense of freshness in my life, that sounds like such a good thing. And if you think about it and you're like, vigor, if I just felt the energy, when I think of vigor, I think of energy. If I just had that energy back in my life, that would just be so great. And that's what being renewed is about. So if you look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we're going to start reading in verse 13. And we're going to talk about one of the secrets of being renewed by God. 2 Corinthians 4:13. It says, it is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe, and therefore we speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. You know, a lot about being renewed is about perspective. It's about perspective. And I'm not talking about the power of positive thinking. What I'm talking about is the power of spiritual thinking. Amen. And they're not the same thing. Because let's just face it, not everything is positive. You know, whether you see a glass as being half empty or half full, it's every bit as true that it's half empty. It is half empty. There's nothing wrong with saying that glass is half empty. It is. That's the truth. You say it's half full. That's the truth too as well. It's not the power of positive thinking that we're talking about here. It's the power of having a spiritual perspective. Perspective is how we view life. How I view life, that is my perspective. And something that's so important about it is my perspective is going to determine my priorities. I will build the priorities in my life out of the perspective that I have. And the priorities that I have in my life are going to lead to the actions that I take. And they're going to lead to the life choices that I make. Now you might say, well, no, priorities don't always lead to life actions or life choices that you make. No, your real priorities absolutely always lead to your actions. You say, no, sometimes I have actions don't match my priorities. No, your actions don't match your stated priorities. Your actions don't match the priorities that you would like to be your priorities. But your actions always match what your true priorities are, because that's what drives you to choose to do what you do. And perspective is the thing that drives our priorities, which leads to our actions. Our text today teaches us that renewal in our life comes from looking outward and seeing things in the spiritual world from a spiritual perspective. And it actually says that there's like a lot of things that are unseen that are actually the real, more real than the things that are seen. And so let's think about that for a little bit. One of the greatest examples, you say, why are we having this around Christmas? One of the greatest examples of this is the whole Christmas story. It's mind-blowing. When you stop and look at the Christmas story, and you just see the spiritual perspective and the lack of spiritual perspective that some of the people involved in the Christmas story have, it's really earth-shaking once you see this. I just want to take a moment today to talk about Mary. Next week we'll talk about Joseph for all the boys, all right? But Mary, I want to talk about Mary and just take a look at how her spiritual perspective is the thing that drove her and caused her to become the woman that she was. Turn over to Luke chapter 1. Oh, I'm pretty sure you're going to be able to relate to this. Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26. It says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. Now I'm just going to say right here, there's a lot of things about this that could have caused Mary to struggle. You might be thinking, oh, if I was in that position, I'd be dancing for joy. There's a lot of things that could cause Mary to struggle. Just think about this for a minute. First of all, basically God announced to her that he was taking over her life. And God sent an angel and said, Mary, I'm taking over your life. From now on, I'm going to be the one who's making all the decisions for you. He did not ask Mary if it was okay for him to take over her life. You know, get her permission, get her thoughts on the topic. He just said, no, I'm taking over. Not only was he taking over her life, but he was taking over her body. Think about this, women. You know, God sent an angel and said, okay, I'm taking over your body. You are getting pregnant. Well, I'm a virgin. I don't care. You're still getting pregnant. You have no choice. You are getting pregnant. He didn't say, hey, Mary, what do you think about, you know, getting pregnant and bearing the Son of God? No, no. He just took over. She had no choice in the matter. She was not asked. She was told. How does that make you feel? Just think about that. She was not asked. She was told. I know. Look, if you're being real, you got a little bit of struggle with this. She didn't get to pick the name of her child. How do you like that? God, even after God took over her life and took over her body, he also informed her what the name of the child was going to be. You will call him Jesus if you said it in Greek. You will call him Joshua if you said it in Hebrew. But she was told the name. Didn't even let her do that. And so she was basically said, told, now, from now on, it wasn't like, hey, Mary, what are your dreams? What are your passions? What would you like to do with your life? You know, no, you are going to be the mother of the new king of Israel. She was just told. And you're going to have all the responsibilities and everything that goes along with being the mother of the king of Israel. No choice. This is just God crashing into her life and taking over everything. What was her response? I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. Now, let me just say this, because I know what some of you are thinking, and I agree with you. That's kind of a predictable response in the moment, right? Because who's standing right there? An angel. I mean, Gabriel. Mary, she was raised on the Bible. So she knows the story about how, like, the angel struck 185,000 people dead in one night. One angel just went there and killed 185,000 on the spot. She knows the story. She understands who this angel is. You know, she's not going to be like, hey, you get out of my face. Who are you to come and talk to me? No, that's not going to happen. She might be thinking it in her heart, but she isn't going to say that. No way. So I understand why you might be thinking that. But as we look at what happened over time, what we realize is that that answer was actually a genuine answer that revealed how Mary's heart really was. It revealed who Mary actually is. Because over time, she had a chance. Now the angel's gone. Now he's not there talking to her. She doesn't see him. Over time, she has a chance to figure out, what am I going to do with this encounter that I had with this crazy angel? You know? And she could. She could have chosen a different path. She could have become totally self-focused. And if she had become totally self-focused, man, it would have just drained her. It would have depleted her energy in every way. She would have been miserable. Or she had the choice to be outward focused and to think of things from a spiritual perspective. And fortunately for her, that's what she chose to do. Let's just compare the two for a minute. A self-focused response versus a spiritual response. Okay. Self-focused. You gave me no choice. That stinks. How could you say God is a loving God? He's coming in here, taking over my life, and not giving me any choice about what I'm doing. That's a self-focused. Spiritual. God chose me for this special task. What a blessing to be chosen by God. You know, people who grow up in the church, I have heard plenty of people who've grown up in the church who decided not to follow Christ over time and stuff. You know, they get on the internet and they'll say stuff like, you know, it was terrible how I was raised. You know, my parents forced me to go to church. You know, my parents made me learn the Bible. You know, my parents held devotionals in my house and we had to read the Bible and sing songs. My parents didn't let me go out and do all the other stuff other people were doing. Oh, my life was so terrible. You know, funny, other people grow up in the same situation and they're like, I'm so grateful. I'm so thankful that my parents introduced me to Jesus. I'm so thankful that they protected me and they prayed for me and they nurtured me and they didn't just let me run off on my own and do whatever I wanted or everybody else around me was doing. It's all about perspective, brothers and sisters. Self-focused. I'm going to be weird. I'm going to be different from everybody else. You know, God just wants me to be this strange, weird person. Nobody else has to act like this. Spiritual perspective. I'm going to be unique because I'm special to God. Self-focus. People are going to mock me because they're not going to believe my story and they're going to mock me. Spiritual. God has honored me. Self-focus. Joseph is going to reject me when he finds out that I'm pregnant. Spiritual perspective. God will provide. His plans for me are good. Self-focus. This isn't my plan. This is my life. No one should impose their plan upon my life. Spiritual. God's plan for me are better than my own plans. Self-focus. This is dangerous. Full of fear. Full of dread. The Roman Empire rules the world. How am I going to raise the king? What's going to happen to me? How is this all going to play out with this government that is ruling us? God focus. Spiritual. God is all powerful. He is my protector. Amen. Self-focus. What about my body? What about my looks? What about my wedding? What about my reputation? What about my comfort, my security, and on and on and on? A drained and depleted human being. Spiritual focus. I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. A renewed and refreshed life. If you look at Luke chapter 1, verse 46, you get a chance to see right into Mary's heart. She wrote this song. She could have had any number of songs that she would sing. She could have, one of her songs could have been something like, hey, let's see. My religion stinks. God is unloving. You know, this thing is just a controlling cult. You know, all the stuff she could have said in there. I want my freedom. You know, let me be free. Let me be free. You know, all this stuff, right? She could have wrote any song that she wanted to write. I know. I am terrible. I can't write a song. I should have gotten somebody to write that song for me. You get the point, though, right? Huh. One point you get is this dude needs to hire someone to write songs for him. Listen to the song. Listen to the song. Verse 46. And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. Hey, this gives you the insight into Mary's heart. What it looks like to be a person who's looking at things through the spiritual perspective. Viewing things that from the unseen world. You know, letting God speak to her and being able to hear what God is saying and being able to respond with that spiritual perspective. In verse 47, she said, my spirit rejoices. This is how she responded to having her life taken over by God against her will. My spirit rejoices. Verse 48, all generations will call me blessed. Verse 49, the Mighty One has done great things for me. Verse 52, he has lifted up the humble. Verse 54, he has helped his servant Israel. Verse 55, he has been merciful forever. That sounds like a person who's living a renewed life because of the spiritual perspective that she chooses to take and how she views her life around her. You know, when we share in communion together, communion is all about setting our perspective. It's designed to get us to put our perspective on track. God knows that it's going to be very easy for us to start thinking in a very self-focused, unspiritual, worldly fashion. He knows it's going to be easy for us to do that. I know it's easy for me. And so every week, we meet together and we take some time out to have communion. And why are we having this time of communion? Because it allows us to get our perspective realigned with God. You know, we stop. We talk about the same thing every single week. No matter what angle we come at it, no matter what twist we put on it, no matter how we spin it, no matter what we try to do to enhance it, ultimately we talk about the same thing. We're recognizing that Jesus Christ gave his life for us on the cross, that his blood cleanses us from our sin, that God raised him from the dead, that we have the hope of eternal life so long as we walk faithfully with him. It's the same message every week, but it's an important one every week to remind us to look at life through spiritual eyes. It's not the power of positive speaking, it's the power of spiritual thinking. That's what it is. And that's why we share in this time of communion together. And so, right now, after we pray, we're going to take communion together. And also, if we were handing out the communion as people came in. So if you would like to participate in the communion and you don't have the communion with you, you know, you just raise your hand after the prayer, and then the ushers will come around and give the communion to you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the many, many lessons that you teach us from your word. Just by the response and by my own personal feelings, I know how much I need to be renewed by you constantly, God. And Father, whenever I stray from having that spiritual perspective or walking with you with prayer and being in your word, I know that I become worn out. I become burned out. I become depleted. Thank you so much, though, for offering us just this chance, as it said in 2 Corinthians, that we could be renewed day by day. As we take our time to think about life through a spiritual perspective, as we refocus on Jesus, and the fact that really, if you never gave us anything else in our life other than Jesus, we're living an amazing, blessed, awesome life. We thank you for Jesus. It's through him we pray. Amen. Please raise your hand if you need to get communion.